The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
And welcome to AgriTalk After the Bell, everyone. It is great to be back in the studio.
Yes.
With my good friend, ATB. Yeah. News guy, Davis Michelson. How you doing, buddy?
We ordered a little wintry mix for you so that you wouldn't, you know, yeah. You wouldn't forget what life is really like here.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the central U.S.
No doubt. Absolutely.
You look tan.
Well, I don't know why.
Yeah?
It could be the exposure to lots of fluorescent lights over the
last. Is that what it was?
It might have been.
You're going to want to watch that.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I'm getting a little bit serious on you here all of a sudden because I saw this on Twitter from the Kansas, some state agency in Kansas, and just got an email from Greg Henderson at Drovers. Mm-hmm. Large grass fire underway in Clark County near Ashland.
Oh, geez.
This is the same place, same area that the fire started a year ago to the day.
Is that right?
To the day. This is the same area.
Wow.
We all know what went down in the first 48 hours of that grass fire last year. Let's not let that happen again.
Well, and I forget who it was. I saw a picture on Twitter, and I guess I didn't quite put it together. But he was hooking up his disc.
Yeah.
And said, keep these tanks full.
Yep.
We're on fire patrol.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be careful out there,
get
everybody.
Out there, and boy, make sure that you're out in front of it if you're going to be doing that.
Yep.
Carving some fire breaks into the ground out there. But yeah, be careful out there, everybody. I mean, yeah, we do not need a repeat of what happened a year ago.
No.
Dollar was higher today, crude sharply higher, stocks sharply higher. All that when we're talking about a trade war.
Yeah.
I just am having a hard time wrapping my head around what this all means. I'm hoping that Matt Campbell from INTL FC Stone is going to bring some clarity to the situation for me today. He is my guest on the show. And just a reminder, it's Monday. So at the end of the show, Carrie Artak from Artak Advisory will be here with the chart update.
Don't miss the fourth segment.
The big question is, does this trade war turn into a food fight? And if it turns into a food fight and gets agriculture involved in it, then we've got to, why are you grinning
at me? Well, that's really clever. I like that. You should, like, write something about that and make it a title.
Corn was slightly higher today. Soybeans higher. Soybean meal mixed. Bean oil slightly lower. Wheat was higher. Live cattle and feeder cattle both solidly higher today. And the same story with lean hogs. If we weren't under so much pressure last week in the meat markets, I'd be more impressed by that. Okay, buddy, tell me what's moving the markets today.
Chip, the U.S. dollar index spent time on both sides of unchanged and on both sides of 90 even in the spot month contract. Late in the grain session, the dollar index was just slightly higher, providing little direction for commodities. Hard red winter wheat futures led gains in the wheat market as traders prepare for another round of crop condition ratings. Texas condition ratings will likely capture most of the market's attention this afternoon. On the demand side, USDA this morning reported U.S. exporters shipped nearly 401,000 metric tons of wheat in the week ended March 1st. Technically, today's high-range close on an inside trading day should attract some follow-through buying.
Okay, here's the deal. You all know how much I was surprised by the deterioration in the Kansas and Oklahoma crops last week, only because they were already rated so poorly. So maybe there is some deterioration in the other states. And after the way that the markets responded to those condition updates in Kansas and Oklahoma last week, I do not blame traders for not wanting to be on the short side in front of those condition updates.
Well, May hard red futures were 11¾ cents higher, but 545½. May soft red gained 9¼ cents to close at 509¼. March spring wheat was up 4¼ cents at 624¼. Actually, I don't think that's quite right.
That was May spring
wheat. That's May spring wheat.
Yes, May spring
March contract did a heck of a lot better than
that. Yes, like 16 cents.
Right.
Yep.
Corn export inspections in the week ended March 1 totaled nearly 948,000 metric tons. That was under the lowest pre-report trade estimate. Those looking for fundamental support for the strength in corn prices continue to point to drought conditions in Argentina. Brazilian corn crop estimates are also somewhat price supportive. Technically, December corn futures topped last week's high of 405 by a penny as technical buying continues to absorb increased farmer selling.
Yeah, and the new crop corn closed on the session highs too. So that Brazilian corn crop estimate, why they are providing some support. Mm-hmm. Ag Rural came in a touch higher than what they were previously, mm-hmm. but it's still under that 95 million tons that USDA's got in their books.
March corn futures were a penny higher at 378 and one quarter. July corn gained 2 cents to close at 394 and a half. December corn closed at 406 even. That's up 1 3/4 cents today. It was kind of a strange day in the soy complex, Chip, with bean prices higher and nearby soybean meal and bean oil futures both trading lower. Traders say that's a clear signal money management is playing a bigger role in bean trade, even with drought in Argentina still taking a bite out of this year's global bean supply. Also, the Brazilian bean crop may still be getting bigger. Ag Rural now puts the crop there at 117.9 million metric tons, up 1.7 million from the firm's previous estimate.
Yeah, and all that movement with the products to soybeans, it really adjusted the crush margins today. We'll talk about that with Matt coming up here later.
On the demand side of the market, USDA this morning reported U.S. exporters shipped 990,000 metric tons of beans in the weekend at March 1. That was at the top end of trade expectations. March soybean futures were 6 cents higher at 1066 and 3 quarters. July beans jumped 6 and a half cents to close at 1085 and 3 quarters. November soybeans closed at 1042 and a quarter, up a nickel on the day. On the livestock side, April live cattle $1.05 higher at 123.22 and a half. June cattle gained 95 cents to close at 115.35. And April feeders were up $1.60 at 146.87 and a half. Let's say that snout side news for the bottom of the hour.
Sounds good. Let's go to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, get a feel from the floor from Jack Scoville with the Price Futures Group. Jack, I mean, closed right on the high of the day in new crop corn. I know we were only, you know, penny and a half to 2 cents higher in corn, but it felt like an impressive day.
Well, I think the corn market's been an impressive market ever since last week. Once the tech buying finally took out the 370 area in the March, the 380-82 area in the May, it's been creeping ever higher, and that's a sign of a really good corn market. So I think we're headed for higher ground. Just how high? You know, can we get above $4? I think we can. You know, at least for a little while, and. I think we'll see that start to happen here over the next week or two, I hope.
Jack, is this just money flow, or are you seeing anything fundamental behind this corn market?
Well, let's face it, we're still very, very cheap in the world market here, and, and the dollar really hasn't done anything too terribly exciting to really change all that. So our demand has been fabulous. We didn't see any sales reports this week, but so far. But last week we saw a bunch of them. Our export sales reports have been great for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And we have all those problems down in Brazil and Argentina with all the rain in Brazil. You got to figure that they're going to have trouble getting some of the safrinha crop in, so that'll reduce their production going ahead. So we stand ready to pick up more business, and hopefully USDA will be reflecting that on Thursday.
Yeah, that report on Thursday, that's pretty important. I mean, it almost feels like we're running out of time for USDA to reflect some of those lower crop expectations out of Brazil, right?
But still with the winter crop, there's some time left to go.
Yeah.
But for the beans and the winter crop corn or summer crop corn, they should have a pretty good handle on it by now.
Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You bet. That's Jack Scoville, the Price Futures Group in Chicago. When we come back, conversation with Matt Campbell from INTL FC Stone. That is next on ATB.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American Value's as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are Next Era Energy Resources, an American company proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at nextaraenergyresources.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Roots, they're your crop's foundation. Your success depends on them. Your roots can make or break you each season. Take charge of your roots this season with Radiate from Crop Production Services. Designed to give your crop a stronger, more robust foundation for yield and quality, Radiate can make all the difference for your crop this season. Ask your CPS dealer about Radiate or go to RadiateGiveBack.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Market Rally is brought to you by Credenz Soybean Seed from Bayer, designed using smart genetics with tailored varieties to fit any field condition.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everyone. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Corn slightly higher today. Soybeans were higher. Soybean meal was mixed. March contract was under a little bit of pressure, but the back month futures did end up with some slight gains in the meal market. Bean oil was slightly lower. And Davis, earlier in the day, I don't know if you saw it or not, but bean oil was higher and soybean meal was lower.
Yeah.
So we were seeing some unwinding of those spreads. And then for a while, we had both meal and oil lower with beans higher. Mm-hmm. So we were taking some profits out of the crush side of the market. It was kind of a weird way to start the week in that soy complex.
Nice to see a little volatility, though.
Well, sure it is. You know? Sure it is. Give us some opportunity there. Wheat was higher. Live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs all closed higher in today's trade. Matt Campbell with INTLFC Stone is my guest today. Coach, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Chip. How are you?
I am fantastic. It is good to be back in the studio. I know that it may sound weird to hear that I'm glad to be back in the office, but, this weather that we've got out here, and I just call it a gloomy weekend that I spent in Southern California. I'm kind of happy to be back.
Yeah, I hear you. No place like home, I guess.
That's exactly right. Start me a fire and pour me a beer. Let's have a good evening.
Yep.
So, hey, bud, how's things been going? It's been a while since we've talked.
I know. I was thinking about that. We actually have some stuff to talk about. It seemed like last fall we just kind of kept saying the same thing for about 5 months, and it's nice to have quite a bit of changes going on right now.
Yeah, Davis just said it. We've got some volatility coming back into the markets, and that's always a good thing. Give us some opportunities. Even from a trader's perspective, they've got to be in a happier state of mind with some price movement going on than what they were at the end of last year and into early this year as well. So tell me this corn market. It's grinding up to the upside. You know, when the rally started in beans, it was kind of the same thing. Slow but steady, let's grind this thing to the upside. Then we had a couple of big days in soybeans. Can we see what happened in soybeans on a smaller scale? Can we see it happen in corn?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the bigger question I've got is in both markets, really, where's the next round of similar style buying come from? The funds have covered their shorts. They obviously have moderate size long in corn. They've got a large size long in beans. Can you put another like amount of buying behind this market? And right now, based on what we've seen historically, I'm going to say no. And that's what's, to me, probably one of the more concerning things about extending the rally much further in corn in particular.
Yeah. So, you know, and real quick on that fund short covering in the corn market, it was a pile of positions that got covered, and it wasn't a huge pop in the market. We saw some strength, obviously, but to cover more than a billion bushels of corn shorts and to move it, what, 15 cents, that's as close to flying under the radar as you can get.
It is, and I think that, you know, as we've seen over the past few years, the funds run out of buying before the farmer runs out of selling, and I guess that's kind of what I think is still on the docket for this year. We could still see, you know, additional fund short cover, not short covering, but new longs coming to the table. But I just think that the farmer's sitting on still a large amount of old crop corn that is just going to limit rally potential. And it's important to look at historically where we've been. This year and last year fundamentally line up in pretty similar fashion. And last year, how many days above today's July corn close did we have from this point forward? Not one. So, you know, we're already kind of in last year's high points. These corn had, I think, two closes above today's settlement in all of last year from this point forward. So, you know, looking for another 30-cent move on top of the one we've just seen is tough considering how much firepower we've already built into the market.
Yeah, and that Dease contract, admittedly, you know, I was kind of watching or observing from afar at the end of last week. But the way that Dease corn contract went up, bumped up against 405 a couple of times to end last week, couldn't get through it. We get through it today, close on the session highs. Yeah, this morning when I sent you a note, I was like, "Oh man, if we can't get through 405 this morning, you know, we could be setting up for some fairly aggressive selling into the close." But I, doggone it, I'm impressed. Even a penny, even getting a penny, a close a penny above last week's high, that opens up more upside potential for me this week.
Yeah, and I think we've had a, you know, I'd even say even since last fall when we started talking about upside targets, every one of those upside targets has been kind of met and gone through without too much trouble in the entire, you know, 30-cent move. And so you're right. I mean, I fundamentally am not overly bearish corn in the next, you know, 90 days probably. But, you know, the big picture, I'm just looking at opportunities. That's where I'm starting to say, you know, where does my marketing plan start and finish? Is it in the next 15, 20-cent move? Probably. I mean, this still doesn't look like it's going to be a drastically different year than what we had a year ago, depending on what summer weather plays out. But I think that's just important. We're given a nice opportunity, and I really feel that case about the bean market. You know, it just seems like the fundamentals in beans are probably at odds with prices right now, and I continue to want to make sure we're seeing aggressive bean selling, and we have been, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, I was just going to ask you, are farmers selling into this rally in corn?
Yeah. You know, I think it took a little bit longer for us to see more traction from the producer side in corn. I think that there's still an awful lot of corn out there, and that's the problem. By CFTC standards, we're sitting on, I want to say, about 4 billion bushels of hedge position based on the CFTC report. So, I mean, that's a big position. We've only seen one time in recent history with a larger hedge position than that. So they've certainly been selling into it. The bean one is where it's more impressive. You know, we've got, as it stands today, about 50% of last fall's beginning stocks levels is currently hedged. Now, that's a really big position, one of the largest we've ever seen, again, next to the 2016 spring time frame. So we've definitely seen aggressive farmer selling, and I think the beans has been a little bit more of the skew with the rally we've seen.
Jeez, with this farmer selling in here, Matt, It's not true every time. I'm not about to say this, but when the farmers do sell into a move like we've seen in corn and soybeans, it almost extends the upside potential eventually. Agree? Disagree?
You mean in terms of what's left to sell? Yeah.
No, in terms of potential move to the upside.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me. Farmers go about doing it exactly like they're supposed to do it, exactly like they've been told to do it. And when you look at their marketing plans, I mean, this is what they should be doing, selling into this thing. But what kills me is we could be looking back 15 cents later in corn and 20, 25 cents later in soybeans, and guys are going to be saying, dadgummit, I sold too soon again.
And I know, and I think the one thing that I always want to tell people is that you're not in it to try and sell a high, because not many people are able to do that. You're in it to sell a profit. And I think when you look at the current dynamics in new crop corn and beans, I mean, these are levels that are getting people's attention, and they should be. So, and even in cash positions, you've seen such a nice move off the lows. So I just hope that, you know, we're not in the business of trying to sell highs, as long as we are trying to sell profits in markets that are carrying 530 million bushels excess and 2.3 billion bushels excess.
Yeah. Yeah, what about the end users in here, Matt? Have you noticed them doing anything to extend their coverage in either corn or soybeans?
Boy, that is a great question. And I think that maybe one of the reasons why the cash markets haven't really backed off a great deal with that amount of farmer selling is that the end users this year, in particular the corn, have kept their coverage pretty much hand-to-mouth or as prompt as possible. I think that's been kind of prohibiting them from going out and locking in long-term margins. Obviously, ethanol margins have been, you know, not real great in the forward curve, but they've really kept things a little more hand-to-mouth. The soy guys is probably a little bit more surprising because, you know, crush margins are so strong, and we really don't see those processors ever get in a huge hurry for, you know, kind of clock-style coverage. So for the most part, you've got end-user groups that are just kind of, you know, enjoying the ride and not getting overly aggressive on anything, which is kind of different than what we've seen in previous years.
Yeah, this is interesting. I talked to the guys out of Commodity Classic last week, and, you know, there are exceptions to this, of course, but most of the guys said, you know, this basis market is trading a whole lot better than what I thought it would with the amount of selling that we're getting into it here. So, you know, it is an interesting year, and I've been kind of racking my brain and looking back at pro farmers from the past, trying to find a year that really lines up nicely with the fundamentals that we've got, the increases in carryover, basis holding up and stuff like that. And it's just really difficult to identify that year, Matt. So anyway, we're going to continue this conversation. Like I said, I've been away from the markets for a couple of days. I'm kind of scratching my head, and Matt's going to continue to help me clear up any confusion that I've got in my brain over what is happening in corn, soybeans, and we got to talk about wheat. That's coming up next on ATB.
Oh, Ed, see the headlines?
Yep. Credenz soybeans are designed using smart genetics.
Look, state-of-the-art breeding advances the best germplasm.
Plus, tailored varieties for any field conditions with choice in herbicide-tolerant traits.
And Credenz soybeans come backed by Bayer's ongoing innovation.
Want increased yields and ROI? Plant the smarter soybean.
Talk to an authorized Credenz retailer or discover the right Credenz variety at credenz.bayer.us.
Always read and follow label instructions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
It's time for ATB's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at May cotton futures today. After surging from around 68 cents per pound last October to a January peak at 84.45, the May cotton contract slid all the way to 76.44 on February 15th. Industry problems getting cotton shipped overseas was the likely cause of the drop. However, export demand has remained very strong, whereas the industry has become more confident of its ability to get cotton shipped in a timely fashion during the weeks and months ahead. Thus, May futures rallied to 83.05 last Wednesday, then slipped back to retest 10-day moving average support. It then blasted over 3 cents higher today and closed at a new high of 85.23. This certainly suggests we're going to see a bullish follow-through.
I had not even thought to look at cotton trade today. I'm looking at the chart right now, and it blows me away. Thanks, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
You know how to grow a great crop. We're here to help you grow profit. Now, back to AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Farr.
MINTL, FC Stone today. Before we get back to the conversation with Matt, let's get a recap from Davis.
Well, Chip, May hard red winter wheat futures were 11¾ cents higher, but 545½. And May SRW was up 9¼ cents to close at 509¼. By the way, March spring wheat up 16½ at 623 even. July corn gained 2 cents to close at 394½. New crop December corn closed at 406 even, up 1¾ cents on the day. July beans firmed 6½ cents to close at 1085¾. Novi beans closed at 1042¼, up a nickel on the day. On the livestock side, some corrective buying in the cattle market. Today, April live cattle a $1.05 higher at 123.22½, and April feeders up a $1.60 at 146.87½ on the hog side. Last week's heavy pressure on lean hog futures turned into a round of short covering to start this week. April lean hogs a $1.22½ higher at 68.80. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, big fella.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Yeah. Matt Campbell is with INTL FC Stone. He is my guest today, Matt. Okay, so Vought gets on at the bottom of the hour and talks about this big move in the cotton market, another market that has been providing some support for corn is what's going on in this wheat trade. It doesn't really matter if you look at the SRW or the HRW contract. What's going on in wheat has got to be helping this corn market some.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, you asked another question at the top of the hour was how much of this is money flow. And I do think that, you know, wheat is the last commodity or the last traditional grain commodity that had a large short, and you're tossing in, you know, additional weather concerns here in the U.S. And I think, you know, with this much uncertainty in other markets, other ag markets, to toss something in that with the wheat market, you're going to get some shorts that are just in panic mode. And I really believe that the wheat market strength over the last few days has really been what's taken corn and helped it get through some resistance areas. I think that's been a real factor here.
Yeah. And last week with the update that we got on the Oklahoma and Kansas wheat crops, we've got some other updates coming today. I'm not sure if they're out yet or not. But last week it showed that the market is vulnerable, is sensitive to what is happening with that wheat crop. And last week's update showed us don't be short going into these condition updates from the state agencies. Feels like we had some of that going on today, too.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, in any of these crop problems we identify, once you see the market start to take hold and the, you know, funds trying to get out of positions, you just kind of let those things play out. You don't want to be standing in the way of that. And I think that's, you know, with the wheat still having a decent sized short on, you know, there's still potential upside in here near term.
Yeah. Okay. Jack Scoville made a comment early in the show today about corn's export demand. It has been really impressive for 7 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. Now, you know, the shipments pace today was it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as good as it has been. Can we keep this going?
Well, yes. The problem is this. As you mentioned, sales are strong, shipments are not. And I look at where the USDA has us pegged right now on their export program, and I think the shipment pace is running too far behind to potentially reach that number right now. And I know that's unfortunate because we've, you know, this corn export program was left for dead last fall. We obviously have caught a bid. We've got things going. And the sales side is strong. You know, I think production problems or acreage concerns about the safrina crop was probably helping us out a little bit there as well, and potentially could have, you know, spilled into a multi-year export program. But right now, I don't know that we can reach the shipment total, even if we matched recent record year paces from balance of year forward. So I'm a little concerned. It's not anything that I think we're massively off on, but I don't know that you can add another 100 million bushels or anything like that to this sales forecast.
I was hoping we could, and I was hoping we could as early as Thursday, right? That's when we get the
exactly.
Yeah, that would have been nice. That would have been a little more fuel on the fire.
And that's just what it is, Chip. I think that, you know, the problem with corn is this: a lot of the long term fundamentals I would view as fairly supportive, but you've got this old crop glut that's just weighing things down, and it's just tough to really see much change in a 2.3 billion bushel old crop corn carryout between now and September. So, you know, it really has to be a new crop problem that's going to drive stocks down year on year, and that's kind of where we are. It may be a year-long problem, but it's still, you know, the long-term corn market's probably set up for something fairly intriguing, you know, in the next few growing seasons.
Yep. Yeah. As long as we are talking trade here, did you notice that Trump turned into Oprah? You get a tariff, and you get a tariff, and you get a tariff. Tariffs for everyone. I don't know if you want to be at that party or not, but there you go. The trade tiff, the trade concerns have turned into, I don't know, if they follow through and they put these tariffs on steel and aluminum coming into the U.S., it is a trade war at that point.
It is, and there's no question what that's going to affect, and it's going to be ag products. What I can't tell is the market shrugging off this because they don't think it's going to happen, or we're just not even paying attention to it because we're dealing with money flow and production problems. I
mean, here's a quick update for you on this. The Dow is up 390 points right now, Matt.
Now, there you go. Yeah.
It's got to be the market shrugging this stuff off, but I think that's a dangerous approach to take in here.
It is, you know, and at the same time, you see a market shrugging off. You see a lot of analysts actually bringing more credibility to it. So there's a lot of at odds thing going on. I certainly don't feel like if nothing happens that's bullish per se. But if something happens, it's quite negative. So that's a real conundrum right now on these tariff situations in NAFTA.
Yeah, I've been arguing all along that if we do put the tariffs on, at that point I was just thinking about Chinese steel and aluminum. my attitude has been that if we do that, it's not like it's going to turn into zero demand from China for U.S. soybeans, because they got to have them. It's not a want, it's a need. Is that the right attitude going forward?
It is, and I think the key thing is essentially from a bean export perspective, you've got two players, Brazil and U.S., and China is obviously the player on the other side, and their appetite is too big for just one country to ship them all their bean needs, so they're going to need both of us. The problem is market share, and we lost, I think we were down from September to December about 5 million tons, while Brazil was up 7 million tons of shipments to China in that same period. So, again, it's not necessarily that we're not going to be a part of their bean program. We're just not going to be as big a part of it. And that's still just as concerning as anything. And we've seen that, whether it's a quality issue or whether it's a trade issue, we don't know. But we know the fact that Brazil is beating us to our number one export destination right now and in significant fashion.
Yeah, it feels to me like, boy, Brazil is looking to take a step back a few years, not several years, just a few, to where they would end the year with basically zero in the bag and be willing to go forward into a new crop year holding no stocks. I mean, they are shipping hard, and they're going to keep doing it until they're basically out of beans.
Well, they did that a few years ago in the corn market, and then they had a corn problem that year and ended up essentially becoming a net importer. And that didn't work out so well at that point. But I agree, they're definitely in the business of selling beans out, and that's their primary goal.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to this basis here real quick. Like I said, down at Commodity Classic last week, several guys commented that this corn basis is holding up better than what they anticipated. Same story for soybean basis. I mean, to me, when basis does that, it indicates what we were talking about earlier, that the end users have not extended their coverage yet, but it also indicates that there's a bit of concern over total supplies going forward. And with the carryovers that we're talking about, I find that hard to fathom that the end users would be concerned about that. But are you seeing any other reasons why this basis is doing what it's doing?
I think there's maybe a few more reasons. And one of the reasons, I think, in the first portion of the rallies, particularly in corn, a lot of the pricing that took place would have been in commercial storage and or basis contracts or extended price contracts, things that don't hit the end user. So in that case, it's not going to have a real commercial change in basis values as much as it is, if it's going directly to the end user. That could be one reason. The other reason is a lot of the selling, in my opinion, based on what you see from the commercial short position, it is going into merchants rather than end users, which, again, they're eyeballing some big carries in some of these markets, and so they're, at least old crop carries, and so they're maybe content letting the carry work to their position's advantage and maybe making some sales later. That's what I see. I agree with you totally that wouldn't have been what I would have suspected a month ago, but, that's what I've seen kind of play out, at least in my little neck of the woods here.
You know, that carry, when there's carry in a market, it influences so many decisions down the line that it's hard to keep track of just the impact that it can have out there. So good point there, bud. It's something that we need to keep an eye on, and the commercials may have just decided, hey, let's just sit on this stuff and capture the carry ourselves going forward. Matt, I appreciate it, buddy. You had a tough job today getting me back up to speed, but I feel better after today's show.
I do, too. Thanks for having me on again.
You bet. No worries. That is Matt Campbell, INTL FC Stone. Okay, guys, you know what it is. It's Monday. That means that we've got Kerry Artak. Kerry's already on the line. I'm sure that he's getting the fires fired up and getting ready to roll. We've got a chart update coming from Kerry Artak next on ATB.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users.
Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and...
Next Era Energy Resources, an American company working side-by-side with farmers and ranchers to
harness the power of the wind and create local jobs for small towns. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Welcome back to ATB, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It is Monday afternoon, close of the show. That means that it is time to talk with Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory. Kerry, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing great, Chip. How you doing?
Doing real well, real well. I want to get straight into it, but just want to remind everybody, artakadvisory.com, free two-week trial of the Artak Advisory, and that's A-R-T-A-C. So go over there. Kerry's got it waiting for you. Kerry, there's been some moves here in these markets that we talked about in the last segment. We've busted through some overhead resistance. It's opening up some additional upside potential. And May corn might be right at the front of where we're opening up the most upside potential.
Well, yeah. You know, when I was on the show, it was late January, I had 2 to 3 month buy signals in both wheat and corn. At that time, it was the March contract. Now we're talking May. They both have followed through nicely. In fact, last week, wheat accelerated, and that's what happens sometimes when you begin to project the timing of these targets. You're using volatility that exists prior to the breakout, well knowing that once the markets do break out, volatility expands, and that's what's happening now. So what was a 2 to 3 month target when we pushed through the lower 440s is now probably a week or two away. I got 523 and a quarter. We could actually get through this week with the 509 area settlement today. 523 and a quarter has been the target, 2 to 3 month target. That can contain March buying pressures. And once we test it, the market is then vulnerable to bear shortation back to 460 and a quarter. Though given the velocity of this move, you should be prepared for a possible weekly settlement above 523 and a quarter. And if so, then I've got the next target at 586 and three quarter. This is an annual containment level. It'd be 2 to 3 weeks away after we close above 523 and a quarter, 586 and three quarter, able to contain 2018 highs. And if we take that level out, then look out 716 half over the following 3 to 5 months. That would be a summer target. So I've got these little stair steps versus 523 and a quarter. Very respectable. If we take it out, we've got another 60 cents or so to the upside, 586 and three quarter. That's a big area as we look ahead through summer. Talking corn, we had the buy signal in late January, expecting 406 even within 2 to 3 months. We could be 2 to 3 weeks away from testing that now. I've got 391 and three quarters, a 50% retracement off the two extremes over the last year or so. 391 and three quarter, we're just 4 cents away from that. That can contain weekly buying pressures, possibly into later March. But if we take 391 and three quarter out, even a daily settlement this week, 406 even, which is the 2 to 3 month target, would be expected within 2 or 3 weeks at the very most. That is an area that can contain broader complex buying into summer. Beans. Mm-hmm. And now beans have actually followed through. They posted their own 2 to 3 month buy signal 2 weeks ago, and I am now holding above 1028 and a quarter, which is our floor now through March. I am expecting 1128 and three quarter over the next several months. Along the way, which is attainable over the next week or two, 1098 and three quarter, able to contain March highs. But if we close Friday above 1098 and three quarter, that 2 to 3 month target at 1128 and three quarter becomes a 2 to 3 week target where the market can top out through summer trade. So we're in buy mode here. We're approaching resistance in wheat, not quite in corn, and we're still a ways off in soybeans.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that we're stair-stepping it up, but I mean, we're at some price levels now that if we do clear them, we're not just stair-stepping any longer. We're leaping to the next level of resistance.
Absolutely. I mean, if we close above 523 and a quarter this week, May wheat, we're only 2 to 3 weeks away from 586 and three quarter. That'd be a 60 cent rally within 2 or 3 weeks. That's the velocity we're seeing right now. Let me talk about April live cattle right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
April feeder cattle. I'm bullish April feeder cattle above 144.92. I'm still expecting the 162 handle say by the end of April, which I've been holding since we tested long-term support in early December. So 144.92, our weekly floor, above which 162 even is in reach by the end of April. Now, the inverse, April live cattle, we came within 1% of testing a long-term resistance level about 2 weeks ago, and we've backed off ever since. Now, the market has perked up a bit here on today's close. We could get to 128.10 April live cattle by the end of the week. This is a really significant area as we look ahead through summer. For holding below 128.10 should yield 116.27 over the next 3 to 5, 5 to 8 weeks. That's a floor of support able to contain selling into spring. But if we close Friday, and I'm not expecting it, but say maybe by the end of next week above 128.10, then we continue with a decidedly bullish dynamic into spring trade, then expecting 142.22 to 143.47 over the following 2 to 3 months. So 128.10, significant pivot point through spring for April live cattle.
Good stuff, Kerry. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for having me on, Chip. Take care now.
You bet. That's Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Let's take a real quick look at the National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook. This is for March 11th to the 15th. We've got two completely different situations going on here. In the far western Corn Belt, we're looking at above normal temperatures.
Okay.
In the eastern Corn Belt, below normal temperatures with a string of normal temperatures running north to south down the middle of the Corn Belt, but below normal precipitation across the entire Corn Belt.
Oh, geez.
That gets us into Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas as well, but there is the chance that we could see some above, it's kind of a weird formation here, but there is a chance that we could see some above normal precip in the Panhandle region. So I talked to Michael Clark, BAM WX, this morning.
Yep.
He said middle of the month, big change in temperatures. Not sure on a change in the moisture pattern at this point.
Bam, bam.
Bam, bam. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Animal Wisdom. Sure, Dr. Doolittle could talk to animals, but a wise person spends more time listening than talking. And now today's tweets at this farm wife. When the two-legged kids get to be too much, I sometimes run to a half-horned, four-legged mama to vent. She's a really good listener, and she doesn't talk back, which at the moment is appreciated. I don't know what's going on there, but hang in there. At the Daily Cowman, as much as I love a black baldy, a red baldy calf like this little bull warms my heart.
Yeah.
I know a Hereford-loving grandfather who would highly approve. And one more at DFaber84. Hey, Pete, I witnessed abuse this morning like never before. These poor individuals were herded into a confined space meant for half their numbers. No food. Their eyes portraying fear and helplessness as they were herded around. These people won't ever fly again.
I saw that yesterday as I was getting
beautiful.
On a plane.
So
I loved
true.
It. Thanks for listening today. Thanks, Matt Campbell. Tomorrow on ATB, BAMWX.com.
Bam, bam!
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
What is the Corvus Zone? It's the weed-free area between the rows. But only when you use Corvus, the one corn herbicide that delivers 3 levels of grass and broadleaf weed defense. Burn down, residual, and reactivation with rain. You want season-long control of the toughest weeds, including resistant ones? Use Corvus Pre-Emergence Corn Herbicide, America's preferred choice. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.